My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, I'm not going to give a massive introduction because I want our final guest to tell me exactly what this is about. She's going to be talking about her book, which is called The Price of Life, In Search of What We're Worth and Who Decides. Welcome to the show, Jenny Cleanan.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So tell me, I can't work out, is it us thinking what we're worth or the people?
The book looks at all the different contexts where prices are put on human lives. So how much does a hitman charge to take someone's life? What is the average cost of a ransom demand? How much did government spend to save a life from COVID? How much does it cost to have a baby if you're two gay men and you're having fertility treatment? All these different things, costs of taking a life, creating a life, saving a life, compensating for a life taken. And I wrote it because I'm not a numbers person. And I think we're moving into a world where the value of everything comes down to numbers, like the number of listeners you might have, or the numbers of books that I might have sold, or the number of likes on a post, or the number of followers that you have. And yet numbers are, in many ways, a kind of fair way of looking at things and making comparisons between things. And so I wanted to look at what do we lose and what do we gain when we put prices on life itself.
So did you have to go around interviewing various peoples from various professions to find out?
Absolutely. The first chapter is about hitmen, and I interviewed a hitman.
Did he admit he was a hitman?
Yes, he's been in prison for it. He's been released. I had a stake with him in New York. And he was actually a very nice guy, which was quite strange. But yes, I interviewed hitmen. I interviewed the families of people who've lost loved ones in terrorist attacks. I interviewed people who make decisions at the NHS of which drugs they are going to fund. I interviewed somebody who had to negotiate with Somali pirates when his sister was taken hostage and he had to negotiate the ransom. So it's very much, the book is very much my journey into having encounters with these people and learning about the people behind the numbers as much as the numbers themselves.
It's a fascinating idea for a book. I think it's great. Although how you thought of it, I don't know. But I suppose each case is different. You can't say, like thinking of the NHS, it's all going to be on one level. Every single thing that you mention, the NHS, a terror attack, a hitman, each individual case is got a different cost, I assume, a different price.
Wildly different numbers. And I learned quite a few things from the contrast between the numbers, because the numbers show us not what a human being's value is, but it shows us what we value at any given time. Like, what are we saying is important? And I found actually the cheapest lives and the most expensive lives are in the same country. They're in Afghanistan. That the money that we have spent creating weapons, the most expensive weapons in the world, which have mainly been used against Taliban fighters, the lives taken by those weapons cost many, many, many million pounds. And yet you can buy a child bride in Afghanistan for about $500, $400. Aww. So it tells you something about life in Afghanistan. The male fighters are worth a certain amount to certain governments, but the child brides are worth so little.
Yeah.
And also part of the book looks at the cost of, because it's possible to buy a cadaver, to buy a human body for medical research. You can buy one. It costs about $5,000. And that is 10 times the cost of a child bride, which tells you something mad about the world that we're living in, that a live child is worth 10% of a dead body.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy, yes.
Yeah, it is. So going back to the hitman, because he quite interests me, did he have a pay scale? Did he say he has a different amount for all depending who he's supposed to take out, I suppose?
The interesting thing that I learned when I was researching hitmen is that the prices they charge, they don't really have anything to do with the lives that are being taken. So it's not like they charge more money for a more important person. The prices charged by hitmen reflect the desperation of the person prepared to do the hit. So you can hire someone to do a hit for not very much money at all. I spoke to some academics who did some research and found that the cheapest hitman they could find had taken someone's life for £200. But then there are some people who might charge £100,000 or more, and those people tend to be, extremely experienced ex-forces, people, the sort of people who, when we imagine a hitman, someone with a silencer who disappears into the night, those kinds of people. But yeah, they don't change their prices according to who the target is. The prices depend on how desperate they are for money and how experienced they are.
Wow. And did you speak to anybody who had paid a ransom if maybe their loved one had been kidnapped or something?
Yes, I spoke to a man whose sister had been kidnapped by Somali pirates. And in fact, he and her weren't very close. He was a retired farmer. He'd spent all of his life working 7 days a week on this farm, working really hard. He'd finally retired, sold the farm. He and his wife were finally getting to go on holiday, getting to live in a nice home that they'd always dreamed of. And they had money. And then all of a sudden, his sister, who was sailing off the Seychelles with her husband, got kidnapped by Somali pirates, and he had to negotiate the ransom. And I learned lots of things about if you're negotiating a ransom, you have to appear like you have no money at all and like you really don't care about the person that you're negotiating for. Because if the kidnappers get any sense that you really care and that you have money, the price will go up and the amount of time that they're held in captivity will be longer. So it's about this dance that you have to do with this man who had money, pretending that he had no money and pretending that he really didn't care was the only way to get his sister and her husband free.
How do you find these people, Jenny?
Job. I've been a journalist for a long time. I do bits and pieces of reading. I mean, also when you write a book, you write a book proposal and you make promises to your publisher. And I had written in my book proposal, I will find a hitman. He will tell me what he does. I kind of had to make good on all of that. But it's part of the job that I like the most, the digging around and finding people and getting them to agree to speak to me.
I've got here as well, you spoke to people who have faked their own deaths or lost a loved one due to terrorism.
Yes. I mean, two very different kinds of stories. I spoke to people who faked their own deaths for life insurance money. And I spoke to a man whose job it is to find those people. He's a guy called John. He has written his own book called Go Away, I'm Dead, which is a memoir of all the times that you've discovered people who have claimed to be dead so their family can claim on the insurance money, and he has gone and found them. This happens surprisingly often, believe it or not. And then I mean, the most shocking part of doing the reporting for this book was I looked at the amount of money your family will get if you're killed in a terrorist attack, and it varies so enormously depending on which country you're from and the means by which your life has been taken. And I looked at a single terrorist attack that happened in London where there were people from Spain, France, Canada, Australia and the UK who were all killed in this terrorist attack by some terrorists who ran people over with a van and then stabbed people. And their families got enormously different amounts depending on where they're from and how their loved ones were taken. And for me, that was a way of showing that putting prices on lives allows us to make comparisons that shows unfairness and gives us an opportunity to make things more fair. So I kind of went into it thinking it's very gross that people put prices on lives. Then I came out of it thinking, actually, it could be useful in some contexts.
Yeah. It's like the post office scandal, isn't it? The compensation. Well, they call it compensation. This was those. It was their money. It's not compensation at all. They're just getting the money back they had to pay wrongly.
And also, you know, how do you compensate for your reputation being taken, yeah. your place in the community, you being at the heart of the community? There are all these different factors that, that have to somehow be quantified, because that's how we do justice in this country, is with money and with numbers.
And how do they? Did you get into how government ministers do work out what compensation people get? I mean, it's like somebody who's falsely imprisoned for years. You know, they give them a wad of money, but like you say, you can't get those years back.
Yes. Well, I mean, I looked at criminal injury compensation. So what happens if you're murdered, or, well, if what your family gets if you're murdered? And it's different from country to country. In the UK, your family will get £11,000 if you're murdered, which seems like a very, very strange amount of money, because it's not so little that you can complain and say, I got nothing. But what are you going to do with £11,000? It's not going to go anywhere near making you whole again. But in different countries, they have very different ways of compensating the families of people taken in terrorist attacks. And, you know, you can, in Spain, you get €250,000. Your family gets €250,000 if you're killed in a terrorist attack. So it is kind of incredible that the London Bridge attack in 2017 that I cover in the book, the one British victim, his family got £11,000. The Spanish victim's family got €250,000.
Wow.
And two of the people who were killed by the van, they were hit by the van, their families got £1.5 million each. And these people who were all killed by the same people within about 10 minutes. It's grossly unfair.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it, that? There's no rhyme or reason why it should be that way.
And the point is also, when people are bereaved, they don't ask other families, oh, what did you get? What did you get? You know, these are people who you have a closeness to. So that's where I thought that there was a real purpose at looking at it through that prism, because this is something that we can improve on, something we can do better.
Yeah. What was the most shocking story you have in your book, do you think?
Oh, there are so many. I mean... The thing that really shocked me was that victims of the same terrorist attack, their families can get such different amounts. I was really shocked to find that you can still buy slaves, that slaves are on sale in Libya for about $500, that you can buy a slave. There were so many facts. I learned how much it's cost me to have two children. Each child that you have up to the age of 18 costs you around £200,000.
Oh, my goodness.
I got mine for free because I didn't need fertility treatment. It's really shocking to learn about the cost of fertility treatment. And that's something that people will pay any money for. You know, they'll pay whatever they can if you desperately want a child that you're genetically related to. So there were so many numbers that really, really surprised me. And I think I came out of it believing that there is value in looking at the numbers. You just can't be beguiled by them. You have to look at the value of things, not just by turning things into numbers, but by using those numbers as a tool to get towards fairness rather than an answer in and of themselves.
Yeah, it's a great idea for a book. It just makes you think about things, doesn't it? It really does something that I certainly would never have thought about before.
Well, that was the way I wrote it, because I realised that these numbers are being calculated all the time by judges, criminals, governments, philanthropists, healthcare providers. And the only things that they all have in common is that they kind of want to keep their numbers quiet, and they don't really want us to be thinking about how they put numbers on our heads. And we need to have that discussion, because we're moving into a world where there is just data everywhere, and computers are going to be using that data to work out our value. You know, when we are getting our life insurance, when we are looking at the cost of healthcare, there are going to be numbers put on our heads all the time. And we should know what is involved in the decision making process, who is deciding, and what are the numbers that are going to determine whether or not our lives are worth saving.
Yeah. How much is a life worth? Exactly. Exactly. Really interesting. Well, if our listeners want to buy the book, we're selling it right now on our website, tre.radio. It's called The Price of Life: In Search of What We're Worth and Who Decides, by Jenny Kleeman, who we're talking to now. Now, you are a journalist, author and broadcaster. I've seen you on TV. I recognised you the minute you came on Zoom. So do you have your own website as well, if people want to find out more about you?
I do. It's jennykleeman.com.
Simple as that. Jenny, do join us on the show again when you have another great idea for a book.
So much. It's been such a pleasure. Thanks,
Jenny. Bye.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.